Well, finally, I'll just introduce this because we have to go. The last reason that I cannot be a Roman Catholic Church is because of Romanism's close association with paganism. Because I think it's really shocking when a Roman Catholic learns where their church evolved from. Now, if scientists are looking for proofs of evolution, there's no evolution of animals and people that's true. That's not true. God created everything, full form, full bore, no evolution. But there has been evolution in the Roman Church. Because we have hymns in this hymn book that Catholics wrote, and we unashamedly sing them. We have confessions of the faith, the Apostles' Creed, etc., etc., that we unashamedly should profess. And Catholics wrote them. But Romanism is the deadly poison that ruined the church, called Catholic, today. For an example, the concept of the Lord's table, which we celebrate, you know, it's just Almack's bread and Welch's grape juice, or at least it used to be in the Deaconess Manual. There's nothing magical, and we just celebrate it here, and we all take part, etc., etc. They took that simple celebration of the Lord's Supper and made it a sacrifice, and that was propounded or first introduced by a Benedictine monk named Radbertus in the 9th century A.D. Did you realize that? No Mass, no transubstantiation, no adoration of the host by the Roman Church was even started until the 9th century. That's the 800s A.D. They fought for 400 years over that concept, until finally Pope Innocent III declared it official Roman doctrine in 1215 A.D. Do you know who Innocent III was? Now, don't get me started talking about the popes. We had to memorize all the popes in seminary and had to know a biography of each of them. Alexander VI, the Pope of the Renaissance, had 30 children. He was celibate. His children were given cardinal posts, the boys. And that's a historical fact. Innocent III was a warrior that had an army that conquered most of the Italian peninsula with the sword. He was probably the most conquering of all the popes, the most powerful of all the popes in history, Innocent III. And that man, who knew more about killing people with swords than he did about the Bible, he declared that this theological controversy would be put in stone in 1215, and they started the Roman doctrine of the bloodless sacrifice of Mass. Well, if you were to trace back the robes, the beads, if you were to trace back the incense, the candles, if you were to trace back the saints and the veneration, if you were to trace back the different things that go on in the ceremonies of the Roman Church, what you'd find is a labyrinth of paganism coming from the fountain of idolatry, ancient Babylon itself. And I want to close where we're going to start next week in Revelation 17. Because I want to tell you first off, blatantly, right out, that I don't think Revelation 17 is the Roman Catholic Church, okay? Couldn't be the Roman Catholic Church, because the Roman Catholic Church as we know it today has not amalgamated all the religions of the world. This church in Revelation 17, the mystery of Babylon, is going to be all together in one place, all the false satanic religions of this world. Mormonism's going to be there, the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to be there, Baha'i is going to be there, and every other cult you can think of, and every false liberal church, both Protestant and Roman, are all going to be there, as well as all of the Confucians and Buddhists and Shintos and Hindus and everyone. Revelation 17 is Satan's church, finally amalgamated into one. But what's interesting is, verse 5, "And upon her forehead a name was written, a mystery." Now, a mystery is something that it's a mystery until God explains it. And it's not explained until here. Nobody knew this until the Bible explained that from the Garden of Eden, and that's where we're going to start next Sunday night, we're going to start in the Garden of Eden with Satan's first convert, whose name was Cain. And by the way, the only person mentioned in 1 John in the exact center of the book is Cain. You know why? 1 John talks about true salvation and watch out for apostasy. And Cain is right in the center, 1 John 3:12. Why? Because Cain was Satan's first convert. And he started the works, or he started the religion of works, of getting to heaven my way. You remember Cain and Abel? God says, offer me a sacrifice. He told him what he wanted. Cain says, no, I'm going to give you a pumpkin and a squash. And Abel said, no, I'm going to give what God wants. I'm going to give a bloody sacrifice. This mystery, verse 5 of Revelation 17, Babylon the great, the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered. Now, later in our study, a few weeks from now, we're going to go through this chapter. But next week, we're going to start here, go back to Eden, and trace the development of paganism. And you can take the Encyclopedia Britannica and do the same thing I'm going to do. Because everything from the 40 days of Lent to the Madonna-child relationship is all something that's chronicled in history long before Romanism ever picked it up. Dwight Pentecost, the prophetic writer, was traveling in Mexico. He was at one of the ancient temples of Mexico, and as they were unearthing it and looking at some of the inscriptions, there was the mother-child. And he said, what's that? And they said, oh, all throughout the ancient Mexican religions, there was the belief in the mother goddess with the son the savior, the mother who mediated for the people's needs. 200 years before Christ in Mexico, they were worshiping a mother-son pair. Romanism didn't invent that. It's part of Satan's church. It's an abomination to call yourself Christian and to worship Satan's way.